Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Be Unique Unscripted, because an authentic life is unscripted. Presented by Bronner House Museum, Elisa Kaler, the spiritual therapist, and Little Green Oasis. Unscripted brings you amazing guests and open mic nights every Thursday night at 9 o'clock Eastern Time. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss an opportunity to learn more. Visit our calendar on beunique.org to see who we have scheduled to appear next. That's beunique.org.
Welcome, everybody. This is Mary Brotherton, your host for Be Unique Unscripted. Tonight, my guest is Angie Clark. She is a well-rounded psychic intuitive healer, a channel, spiritual guide, master teacher, and an exorcist. She works in a broad variety of holistic and metaphysical modalities, and she helps her clients achieve balance. Angie is a trained herbalist and works mostly as a channel for light beings to communicate and work energetically with people. She works in Melbourne, Florida, and travels extensively for speaking engagements and to see clients. She has personal, in-person and remote healing sessions. And tonight, if anybody wants to speak with Angie, you are more than welcome to give us a call. Our number is 516-418-5651. Welcome to the show, Angie.
Oh, thank you. It's my pleasure. I'm happy to be here.
I'm always happy to be in your energy bubble. You're such a joy to be around for me.
Oh, I appreciate that so much, and likewise.
Thank you. So I am really intrigued by a lot of the things that you do, some of the things I know about and some that I don't. I personally have received a lot of health benefits from herbs. So let's start with that. How long did it take you to become a trained herbalist?
I have been studying herbs probably longer than I've been doing anything else. That was the very beginning of my my alternative medicine career. I got there because I was following my own health journey and trying to figure out what was going on with my own body system. I studied herbs for a total of about 2 years. I work mostly in basic symptom relief, helping people to discover what the deficiencies are in the body, trying to help supplement that. I do tend to focus more on the supplementation than the detox, because I do think that a lot of times we detox way more than we supplement, and it really needs to be more in balance. So I do have my credentials through Dr. Christopher's School of Holistic Medicine. I also studied with a program called Certified Natural Health Professionals, which is now a subdivision of Trinity College.
Okay. So where you have a physical store, right, where you sell your herbs and your supplements?
Yes. For the most part, the herbs that I have in the store are mostly listed under energetics. But if it's a scheduled session, I do have herbs that I don't really have on the shelves because they do need to be used with care. But I do have a lot of the herbs that I do sell in bulk. But I do put together herbal programs for people that are kind of on the side. But yes, I do have a physical store in Melbourne.
These are the actual plants, dried plants that you sell, herbs?
Okay. They are. And they're all wildcrafted and organic, and they can be used for whatever purposes you feel and deem necessary. But I do, in the store itself, I do promote them for the energetic side of them. which often lines up with the holistic and medicinal side of them as well.
Tell me a little bit more what you mean when you say line up with the energetic side of people. What do you mean by that?
For example, there are, let me think of one in particular here. Hawthorn berry tends to work with the energy of happiness and wholeness and bringing balance, and it also happens to work with the energy of the heart on a medicinal level.
Okay.
So a lot of times the energetics, if you have studied at all where energy lies in the body and some of the energy that hold that body systems hold, the herbs will line up with, like if I say it brings balance or peace or helps with change, it's going to help with changing and balancing other parts of the body too. And a lot of times they do overlap as far as energetics and medicinal value.
Well, I would think so, because our body isn't made out of little cubes or boxes. We can't say, interesting little story, sidebar here. My grandmother used to take three different kinds of the same medicine. She would take aspirin for her headache, Excedrin for her arthritis, and I think the other one was called Anacin, something. She took three different kinds of medication that were all aspirin-based. And I, when I was about 14 or so, I read the label, and one had caffeine in it. The other one had, I don't know, maybe niacin or something like that, different ingredients along with the aspirin. And so I said, well, Grandmama, why are you taking three different kinds of aspirin? She said, my body knows where it needs to go. And right. I laughed at her, because I realize now she actually, other than the fact that she was overdosing on aspirin, she really kind of had something in her head. You know, she kind of knew what she was talking about. Your body does know where things need to go, but we can't say that it doesn't overlap, because our bodies are all interconnected. That's what holistic medicine is all about.
Right. And because I do tend to work in the energy field, I tend to look at the energetics of what's going on in the body and support it with the herbs as well.
How do you do that?
That means if I know that there are some trauma issues that go on with abuse and you have not had a lot of kindness in your life and you are showing symptoms that are related to blood sugar, I'm going to look at the energy of that part of the body and work on helping to clear that out, as well as balancing it with herbs so that you can, I really do work with like the whole mind-body balance and of course spirit as well. But I think that in order to allow the body to accept the nutrition to heal whatever part of the deficiency is there, you do have to deal with the emotions that are in that place as well.
Ah, so when people come to you, do they say, I have high blood pressure, or I have psoriasis, or do they just come in and say, I'm just not feeling really well? I guess you probably have both kinds.
I do have both, but I really don't deal with medical terminology at all, because there is, you know, a gray area there with what I can do as far as, you know, the term arthritis. I don't really know too much about that. What I deal with is more along the line of joint pain, discomfort within the body, those kinds of things.
Gotcha.
So I tend to look at it more from what's actually happening versus whatever diagnosis you may have been given, because those aren't related to anything that I can work with anyway.
Those are just labels.
They are. And I don't believe in disease names, because once you've given it power and identity, you've claimed it as your own.
Yes. I learned that when I first found out how important herbs were. I had gone to a traditional Chinese medicine doctor, and I walked in and I sat down and I said, well, I've got blah, 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 and this and this and this. And he just looked at me. He says, no, you don't. Tell me what's wrong. And I said, well, I just told you what's wrong. I have this and this, and I'm doing that, and my blah, blah, blah. He said, I don't want to hear that. Tell me where it hurts. Tell me how it hurts. Tell me what is wrong with your body. Tell me why you came in here. And I said, well, because I've got high blood pressure and I'm on menopause and other, but he said, no, take a step back, forget all those labels and talk to me.
Right.
So after a long conversation of him kind of gently beating me upside the head, we found out what the root of my problem was. And, the herbs were phenomenal. Now the herbs mm-hmm. that you sell, do people make a tea out of them or what?
They can. A lot of times if I am, if I'm putting somebody on an herbal program, it's a little bit more specific. And I do have a company that I work with, to bring in actual, you know, capsulated supplements, but they aren't things that I usually have out. As far as teas, mm-hmm. those are basic symptom relief. You know, there are certain things that help with your immune system. There are certain yep. things that help to balance in and help out with, you know, let's see, immune system, joint support, adding calcium to the body, different areas of support for the most part.
And I don't think people realize how important calcium is and how many symptoms they can resolve by increasing their mineral supplements. In a correct...
Trace minerals and the different kinds of calcium are really important. Most of your commercial supplements for calcium that you're going to buy in Walmart or CVS, those are based in limestone. Your body does not know what to do with limestone.
No, it's like eating rocks.
Exactly. And what happens there is your body is going to throw that at joints and actually increase joint problems instead of healing them. Because it doesn't know what to do with it. So it just throws it in the joint area
exactly.
because that's what it does. And it causes calcifications and other major issues.
I wonder sometimes if that's not what causes people to all of a sudden develop kidney stones.
There are some correlations with that. And some of the other things that come up are also blood chemistry imbalances too.
Mm.
And fear. Fear is a big one. So trauma and fear will cause a lot of issues in the kidneys, and actually probably stress and fear are two of the biggest silent killers of our entire world right now.
Mm-hmm. I've been having some issues with skin issues, and somebody
mm-hmm.
told me once that it was all stress related. And I I can meditate 20 hours a day, but some of the stress doesn't go away.
Right. Those are typically people that I'm going to put through what I call an energy session, which is a blend of different techniques. It's guided meditation. And what we do is we actually go in and help to reset the energy of that particular organ and help bring all of your body back to a place of feeling safe, because once you feel safe, your kidneys and adrenals will go back to the way that they should function normally. And it also sets your metabolic production of like cortisol and other hormones too.
I know that we recently did an article about the cortisol levels and how mm-hmm. sometimes people live in a state of emergency without even realizing
right.
it.
Right.
And
mm-hmm.
and that takes a toll.
Oh,
that
absolutely.
Definitely would take a toll.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to stop for a break. And when we come back, I think I want to talk about your being a channel for light beings, because that's my next idea. So hang on.
Let me ask you a question. Do you prefer coffee or tea? This is a question we ask on a fun and informative millennial talk show called Coffee or Tea, No Phones Allowed. And why do I know? Because I'm Anna. I'm one of the co-hosts. It's a great time. It's a professionally edited weekly series that's free to watch on BeUnique's YouTube channel. That's BUNEKE. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss a single episode and leave us a comment with your topic or guest recommendations. We love hearing from you.
Welcome back. This is Mary, and I'm talking with Angie Clark, a trained herbalist, channel for light beings, a psychic, intuitive, a healer, channel, spirit guide, master teacher, and a lot more. I told you before we left for the commercial break that I wanted to talk with you, Angie, about what does it mean to be a channel for light beings to communicate and work with people?
What that means is I go into trance-like states and I allow whatever being of light. I will not work with anything that is not an ascended being, which means angels, ascended masters, deities, higher levels of consciousness. So I won't actually allow your grandmother to step in and talk through me.
Okay.
I will bring in information, but I will not allow that that energy to step into my body and directly speak with you. The difference between a medium and a channel is a medium is somebody who brings in information from your crossed over loved one, and a channel is someone who actually allows the being to step in almost like you're an avatar and they speak. I have been doing that for a long time. It is something that I kind of did without ever realizing I was doing it, because people would come back to me and tell me, do you remember when you told me? And I don't.
So you have no recollection?
Usually, no. No, I do for a while after a session is over, but I typically don't for very long unless it's very profound information that I pull in as a quote that I will use for other clients later. And I occasionally have those. There are some big things that they have shared in a session that directly involve a lot of people, and it's good information to pass along. But it's just like a wave of energy that kind of pulls through. It used to, in the beginning of it, kind of be in front of me, and now it's not. My mannerisms will change, my eyes will change, my voice will change, and the way that I speak will change.
What do you mean your eyes change?
I look as though I have been partying all night, because my pupils get very, very large.
Wow.
And sometimes if you are around me, I kind of flip in and out of this a lot because I do it so much. And I have friends that'll look at me and go, what just happened to your eyes? Who is that? So it is something. I can't tell you exactly what that looks like. I can just tell you what it looks like after I've channeled, and my eyes, my pupils are huge. And I don't see very well when I'm channeling at all. So if I am present, I can't see.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So do you summon these beings, or do they come to you?
I do. Well, it depends on the person. Most of the time, I don't ask for them. But it oddly usually correlates to something that they have either prayed about or talked to spirit about themselves, or something that they have been working with, and that being will typically step forward. It's happened so many times at this point, it's just a thing. You know, I have a friend who was reading a book that was all about Athena, and I didn't know that. And during her session, that's who stepped forward, was Athena. You
wow.
kind of summon them. I just allow them to come in.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm trying to think how to phrase this question.
Okay.
These beings mm-hmm. use you because mm-hmm. people like me or Jimmy, Johnny, Susie don't know how to hear their messages, or because we can't?
Sometimes both.
Okay.
A lot of times you will get messages. These are very direct. And that they're typically very short, profound bits of information that unless they pointed you to something to read, you might not have picked it up.
Okay.
Usually, and it what I have found over the years is it is every time they come in to talk with someone, it is directly related to where they are in their own personal development and whatever they need to understand on a deeper level to help them kind of make peace with whatever struggle they're having. Everything that I channel is interested and concerned with your growth, evolution, peace, helping you through whatever process you're trying to learn at this stage in your journey.
Okay. So have you ever had a client come to you and say, I want you to channel a light being for me and work mm-hmm. with me, and nothing happened?
I have never not pulled something in. No, I don't think I've ever not had something step forward. I've had them interchange, and whoever they wanted, or if they specifically requested something, they step back out. And somebody oh. else will step in. Because it's
so
not
it's
who
like
they need to hear
tag
from.
Team. Like a little tag
Sometimes,
team thing
yeah.
going on.
Yeah. And a lot of times when I'm channeling, they don't really announce who they are. They speak more as a collective. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. But a lot of times it is more of a collective energy than a single identity, unless it's something that that person needs to work with. And I find that a lot of times it's correlated directly to who they've been in another lifetime or realm, and it really is of comfort to the person.
Now, you said that you don't remember after the session, typically.
I don't. Well, I'll remember some for a while, but if you ask me 2 months down the road what they told you, I will have no idea. I'll have a little bit of recollection as to who was there, but I won't remember everything that they told you.
And you also said that your voice changes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, my terminology will change, and my voice will change. Sometimes it will be softer, sometimes more stern. Sometimes, you know, the words that I use will be very different.
Okay. But the person who's hearing the message, just mm-hmm. they don't – you said that it's a collective. But your voice
mm-hmm. sometimes
sounds like
sometimes
one
it's a
person.
Specific person, and they'll tell you who they are.
Okay, so like
it depends.
A specific being will say, "Hi, I'm Raquel or whoever. I'm Harriet."
Right. Mm-hmm.
But not always.
Most of the time, they will not always, or they will say, "We are your guidance team, which is your group of guides," and they're speaking as a collective. Or, "You know me as" is typically the way that they announce themselves.
Oh, nice. Nice.
Mm-hmm.
I'm fascinated by this because I actually know the names of many of my guides and angels.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a sister who says, "How do you know?" And I said, "Well, I just asked and they told me."
Mm-hmm.
But my sister is one of these people with a very, very busy mind.
And
right. she cannot get herself to quiet her mind long enough to listen for the answers.
Mm-hmm.
And she expects them. It's kind of like if I say, "Hi, my name's Mary, what's yours?" And you say, "My name is Angie." That's pretty quick and sudden. She doesn't
right.
realize
they don't
that
really
some,
communicate that way.
No. And you know, you might say, "Hi, what's your name? Please tell me your name. I see you there. I feel you in my mm-hmm. presence. Would you reveal yourself to me," or whatever words you want to use. And then you have to wait. And the reason that I know this is because mine came to me in a moment of crisis. I was just having a very, as most of us do, mm-hmm. you know, we get desperate. And I just said, "Angels, please tell me who you are." And I, at that point, I just kind of sat down on the floor because I couldn't go anywhere else. I was that withdrawn. And
right.
when I finally quit crying and asking and, you know, pretty much when I shut up a few seconds later, or I don't know how long after actually, but I started hearing the names. And I heard four names immediately. Mm-hmm. And then as the years have gone on and I've changed and opened up more, I hear more and more names. And I find for me that they each have a different role, just like we all have a role in the physical realm.
Absolutely.
They have a different role. Some come to me when I'm sick. Some come to me when I'm spiritually sick, or some come just to say, hey, I'm here. I'm in your corner. And it is kind of mind-blowing to realize that we all have this capability. And I'm just beginning to open up to it more and more, because I'm releasing the fear of what's going to happen next.
Right.
And I think that's why a lot of people, like my sister, may not hear these beings, because if we hear it, then maybe we have to pay attention to what they're saying.
Yes, and sometimes we resist that change, or we don't want to hear what they have to say. I call myself spiritually obstinate fairly often, because I do hear them, but I don't really want to hear it. So I will argue with them. It never gets me anywhere. But if you heard me in a, when I was by myself and having these conversations, I call it a staff meeting.
Nice.
Yeah, like, no, I don't want to do that. Pick someone else.
And they say,
but
no,
I never. They just like, oh yeah, silly human, whatever.
I constantly feel that I call them they, or sometimes I just say Gus, God, universe, and spirit. But I feel like I am the problem child.
Oh, definitely. And I do poke a little fun at this, because I would probably lose my mind if I didn't. It is a pretty often thing that, as we're having this conversation and I'm not wanting to be compliant, as the word they will use with me, not compliant. I'm like, yes, I know.
Oh, really?
No, oh, I've heard it lots of times. Not compliant. I'm like, yes, I know. I do yell at them and tell them, like, well, you guys can bring yourselves down here in a skin suit and then tell me how easy it is.
Now, that's a good question. These angels and ascended masters and other beings, have any of them ever had a skin suit?
Yes, many of them have, or different parts of them have.
Wait. Different parts of them?
Yes. I don't believe always that we are incarnated as a whole. It would be very difficult for a human body to hold the entirety of an angel's energy.
Really?
So what would be our aspect?
Wow. That is intriguing.
I think that, we don't always incarnate in the same way. So we bring in pieces and parts of these different beings. Sometimes you'll have, tidbits of this, and they are actually having a fairly human experience, because their energy is a little bit tied to you if you are an aspect or hold that aspect. We all know Jesus, or I don't really use that name. I call him Yeshua. Or Yeshua ben Joseph.
My son calls him Jesus Buddha.
Yep. He is a piece of a greater being that most people who channel know as Sananda.
Sananda, I've heard of.
Right. So I sometimes channel Yeshua, and sometimes I channel Sananda. The energy is very different. And it's much more whole if it comes in as Sananda. And the messages are usually bigger and a little more cryptic. When I bring in Yeshua, I typically bring him in for healing sessions, because he works a lot with wounded child, trauma, bringing comfort and peace to people. And he works a lot with mending the heart. He's like a love bug, you know, honestly. His energy is so loving and warm and amazing. And Sananda's a little bit, it's just much more vast and much more information and knowledge, similar but different when it comes in that way.
Kind of. I can see that. I can't put it into words, mm-hmm. but I can see what you're saying. I can envision it. And I remember.
Another one I'll give you is Metatron, or Archangel Metatron.
Yes.
He has a bad habit of messing with me. I have seen many different forms that he will present himself in, one of which is a native figure, like an indigenous person. And mm-hmm. he refers to himself jokingly as Two Rivers. When I Googled it, because it was driving me crazy, it is the name of a tribe who housed him when he was in human form.
Oh, wow.
That was the information that I found when I Googled it. And that's one of the ways that when I can't get an answer, I'll Google it and say, show me what you want me to see.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll find it that way. So there's another one for you.
Yeah, and they do have distinct personalities, I find.
Definitely.
It's just bizarre, the ones that have worked with me. I've got two named Michael. And
mm-hmm.
one is, I hate to use the word just, but he's just an angel. And the other's the archangel. And
mm-hmm.
they're completely different.
Mm-hmm.
And they have varying senses of humor.
Yes.
Depending on, and I think their sense of humor depends on my need for or my lack of humor at the time.
Yes.
Because
yes,
they take me so seriously that they don't take me seriously sometimes.
Right.
And like you said, I mean, they've never said you're only human, but I get that impression sometimes from them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like they're just like they're shaking their head, smiling at me. Go ahead.
Exactly.
What
are
we going
to
do with
her? Oh, yes, that's really beautiful. Right. Go look at you.
Isn't
oh, she's
she cute.
Look at that. She's learning something. Look at that. How adorable is that?
Yeah. Like we're puppies. That's I mean, I could talk about this forever. This is really fascinating. I know for a I call it a fact. It's a fact of my reality that
mm-hmm.
my youngest son and I were once father and daughter instead of mother and
mm-hmm.
son. And he and I came to the same conclusion at the same time. And
yes.
for a while, it made our relationship kind of weird. And then we just kind of looked at each other and just shrugged and said, forget it. We're who we are today, and we're just going to deal with what we are today and not worry about
right.
what we used to be. And, you know, we just kind of went back to being normal. But that
right.
was weird, mostly because he was 19 at the time. And
right.
That was a few days ago. he's now 39. So it's been a few. As he would say, it's been a minute. But
right.
And really and truly, if you think about it that way, that makes sense because time is not linear. Time is not what we think it
mm-hmm.
is. And when we stop focusing on how much time we have or how much time we don't have, then we can actually enjoy what we're put here to do.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, and we also have other dimensions that are running at the same time. And, you know, it's a totally different topic here, but we do have, we are shifting timelines. And there are, you know, there are healer people who are seeing some of the glitches and some of the other strange things that are happening as we move through that as well.
Yes. Have you heard of the mandala effect?
I have, And I do know that there's a lot going on, especially here this last 3 or 4 months, where a lot of this is kind of ramping up.
Yes. When I first heard about some of this stuff, it was like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? What's going to happen? And then all of a sudden I thought, oh my gosh, this is so exciting. What are we going to get to do? And you change your perspective. And you think, not in terms of what's going to happen to me, but how am I going to happen in this world? And it just makes everything different. It's all about how you look at stuff. My husband and I know we've got some weird stuff going on in our world, and thank God he's just as weird as I am. We have a receipt from a restaurant in Atlanta from a time that we know we were not in Atlanta. We used to live there. And every now and then he'll pull out this receipt from Houston's and he'll just kind of look at me and say, we ought to frame it. I really think we should frame it. But he'll just look at me and go, wonder which one of us traveled to Atlanta. And we know it would be a time travel or an astral travel rather than a physical travel, because we never did it in this reality.
Right. I've had a couple of those experiences in my life as well. I had a very vivid experience of stepping into another timeline. I was walking through my garage and I knew that I was in a harbor. I could hear the bell. I could feel fog and I was rocking like I was on a boat and just stood there. And I did have a friend who thankfully was just as weird as I am. And I yelled for her and I said, hey, come here. And she came in and she put her hand on my shoulder and she goes, why are we on a boat? I said, I don't really know. She goes, okay, good enough. I'm going home then. And that was the end of it. But it was definitely interesting to do that. And I've had a couple of other experiences that are similar to that. And I've had a couple of really strange things over in the Melbourne area where I am with seeing things that I know aren't there. So there's a lot going on as we're shifting.
Are you talking about spirit things or physical things?
These I think are a little bit more physical. And these are a little bit more interdimensional than spirit.
Okay. Interesting.
I think my favorite story of stepping into another timeline is I walked into my bathroom in the house that I lived in before this one. And when I flipped on the light, I realized I wasn't in my bathroom. It was the same bathroom, but it looked entirely different. And there was a man standing there. Thank goodness he was clothed because it was a bathroom. And I went, and he went, oh my God. And I snapped back to my own bathroom. And I know that I stepped into another timeline, and I know that poor dude thought that he just saw a ghost, and it scared the crap out of him.
Oh my gosh. That's amazing. I had a situation, and I've had it for years. And before I became as knowledgeable as I am today, it scared the bejiminis out of me. But I always forget that term, but when you're just about asleep, but not quite asleep, you're awake, but not, there is a word for that.
I call that meditation because you're actually between.
Yes, I was definitely always between. I knew that I was going to sleep, but I knew that I was still awake. And I would always see, and this happened night after night after night for many years, I would see something horrible happening to somebody. And it broke my heart. I mean, somebody was either being brutalized or just outright killed. And I was traumatized over it. So, and I couldn't go to sleep then afterwards. So one night I said, if I can't do anything about this, why are you making me see this? You know, I'm stuck here. I can't go and intervene. I can't go and rescue this person. So please take it away from me. And for a while, the images disappeared. Mm-hmm. And someone told me, Mary, you were that person's angel. You were that person's connection. You were probably helping them pass over in peace, or you were giving them the strength to fight back. Mm-hmm. And you had a purpose for being there. And so then I had a talk one night and I said, okay, if I am here, if this is a job I have to do, then let me see it. And the answer came back to me, you've been doing it all along. We just took it from your vision. I'm like, oh my gosh. And yeah, this kind of growth fascinates me because I can see so many things that we can do as humans and as spirits. And I just, sometimes I don't have the words that I need. And in fact, I'm going to hit a commercial button and catch my breath for a minute.
Sure.
We'll be back.
I'm inspired to give back by the many individuals who are making a difference and taking steps to make the world better. Many people are tackling problems by themselves and thinking they are all alone in their efforts to make a change. I want them to know they are not going unnoticed. The world is watching. I'm part of a team helping to project their voices on a global scale. Small charities and solo entrepreneurs are doing amazing things but don't have the budgets to market themselves. Like many people, I once struggled in a variety of jobs I didn't care for, so I decided to find a new way to give back, to pay it forward, and to be the change. While some people my age are considering retirement, I've joined other professionals to create and manage a nonprofit organization called Peace Corps. The words that create our name tell only a small part of our giving story. We are philanthropists, educators, activists. We are compassionate, evolving, charitable, optimistic, responsible, and enthusiastic. We created Peace Corps so we can use our natural talents to help others. We work with nonprofits, individuals, and for-profit organizations that have a philanthropic outlook. Peace Corps uses several tools to give a voice to those that otherwise might not be known outside their small local circles. Be Unique magazine is released monthly and printed on demand. This digital interactive publication doubled in size within 5 months. During that same time, it attracted almost 60 volunteers from 12 countries and across the USA. These volunteers are professionals. They're performers and writers, editors, researchers, videographers, photographers, crew members, and so much more. Coffee or tea, no phones allowed. This fun show is hosted by millennials and provides insight into what they're thinking. But it's by no means intended to appeal only to that generation, as evidenced by their topic and their guests. Because our volunteers know that we are giving 100% of our beings to this organization, they are meeting us on our terms. Nobody earns anything. Yet we all work as if we are earning six-figure incomes. That is the epitome of giving. Curating the stories and creating a high-quality literary-style publication that not only highlights the good work of others, but projects positivity and inspiration gives me purpose. By giving myself to this organization, others want to give to Peace Corps. We have created a global giving circle.
Welcome back. I am Mary Brotherton, and I'm talking with Angie Clark, and I don't know about anybody else, but I'm having a blast tonight. We've been talking about light beings and angels, ascended masters, alternate realities, angels like Metatron, and the entity that people know as Jesus. We've kind of been all over the chart here, and I'm we've talked about herbs, and anybody who knows me knows that I am all about good organic herbs and herbal healing. Welcome back, Angie.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. I want to know, I think the last thing that I really want to know more about you is your role as an exorcist. Because, you know, most people hear the word exorcist and they think about Linda Blair and heads spinning around. So how about enlighten us on that?
Exorcism work is actually probably the least favorite thing that I do. It is something that I am called to do. I use the word exorcist because people know what that means. It is never that dramatic for me. The way that I work is it's very low-key. I basically come in. I don't work with Ouija boards or communication or paranormal activity so much. I mean, I can, but I really, if it's something really negative, I'm not going to talk to it. We're just going to clean it up and it's going to move into another paradigm, which the way that I've been shown by spirit is I work with a variety of beings, Anubis mostly, which we all know from Egyptian times. Anubis is the one that I work with personally because of the connection that I have with him from whatever time. But I basically call one of them in to say, take this thing off and bind it to a realm where it can no longer do harm here. I don't believe in eternal damnation. I do believe that you can go and make changes. But what the idea here is these beings are removed from this reality and moved into another. Where this can get a little bit tricky is in the fact that the majority of what we know as demonic energies are not really demonic at all. They are another being known as a shadow being. They prey on your fears. They bring up all kinds of negativity. They scare you because your fear to them is food. And that's all they want. They just want the fear. So if you can know that and turn the fear off, they really just don't want anything to do with you. They don't prey on people who don't have psychic gifts because they can't, and they can't get the response that they need or the result that they want, which is just fear. So the way that I work with it is pretty non-dramatic. I come in, I clean house, do what I need to do. I use whatever tools I'm guided to use. Sometimes it's a spray, sometimes it's a smudge wand, sometimes it's a candle. Most of the time, I do find that there aren't so much haunted places as there are haunted people.
That makes perfect sense.
Because these energies will go with you. But there are beings that kind of hang out in specific locations because it's familiar or it was a home. And I don't often see children as far as not crossed over beings. 90% of the time, if there's a child entity, it's not something you want to play with. It is something that is taking that form to gain entry to you.
Because we trust children.
Exactly. They will take a
nice
form to gain your trust, to gain those things. And many times, if we have kicked them out, another being, because they also know your deepest, darkest fears and will prey on whatever that is. So if they know that this specific image or being has gained entry and has been cleared, another one will swoop in as soon as you clean out the first one. So it makes you feel powerless and hopeless when really it's an entirely different being.
Well, you know, that probably explains a little bit of how they say you attract the same person into your life. Like if
you got it.
You know, maybe a woman or a man has always falls for the bad alternate or the alcoholic or the drug addiction.
Mm-hmm.
And over and over and over again, you keep attracting the same type personality into your life. There's a reason for it.
Right.
And it's because they know that that's something that you have allowed into your life before.
Mm-hmm. It's a pattern because it is something that you need to clean up within yourself. On the healing aspect of that, if you're attracting someone who has addiction issues consistently into your life, you need to face your own issues with addiction and codependency.
Yeah. Been there, done that.
Right.
And
me too.
Thank God I learned my lesson.
Yes.
Sometimes I have needed a 2x4, you know, banging on my head to get my attention.
Right.
But once you get my attention, it's there. And
right.
I'm like, okay, I'm going to pay attention here and see what this is all about. And
right.
It's about setting boundaries and
mm-hmm.
Creating rules for yourself.
Exactly. And how are you thinking? What do you believe you deserve? All of those things play into this as well.
Now, you mentioned that you use different tools when you're exercising an energy.
Mm-hmm.
And you mentioned a smudge wand. Is that like sage?
Yes,
okay.
It is. There's lots of different kinds of cleansing materials. It is a practice that's been around for a very long time, the burning of herbs to put the smoke in the air to cleanse out the energy that's there. You can also use stones or grids or sprays or oils, or I actually use symbols, intentions, and beams of light. It does the same thing because your energy follows intention.
Well, I was going to mention that because one time, oh, seems like 100 years ago, my husband and I both felt a negativity in our home.
Mm-hmm.
It was just a strange entity was around, hovering.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, go get your sage. I need you to clean out the garage. And I'm like, okay. Well, I couldn't find my sage. I looked and looked and looked and looked, and I couldn't find it. So I told him, I said, look, I can't find the sage, but I've got a candle. And it was like a little votive candle, so it was in a glass.
Mm-hmm.
So I lit the candle, and we just tuned our intentions that this entity would leave us. And we took the candle walking around, and, you know, within minutes, the energy left.
Mm-hmm.
I have a funny story. My sister did something similar with flour, like baking flour.
Mm-hmm.
She had neighbors that were like right across the street that were, we'll just say, offensive. And she had talked to them over and over and asked them to stop doing the things that they were doing that were very unhappy, making the neighborhood unhappy. And
mm-hmm.
they just kind of, they gave her some rude gestures, said a few rude words, and basically told her to mind her own business. So she went into the house and got a brown paper bag and put flour, like cake flour, into the bag. And so she started walking the perimeter of her yard, and she was dropping the flour on the grass and mumbling.
Mm-hmm.
She was basically saying the Lord's Prayer is what she was doing. And
mm-hmm.
but she would, every now and then, she would just throw out an occasional word like holy or in the name of or whatever, but she would always
mm-hmm.
make it sound like an incantation. And so the neighbor said, what the blankety blank are you doing? And she said, I'm minding my own business. Thank you very much. I would appreciate it if you do the same. So she went on about her yard, just scattering this flour and chanting these words, whatever they came to her. And the very next morning, there was a moving truck in her neighbor's yard. And I thought, well, Jane, you've got more power than you think you do. This is the same sister that can't
right.
hear her angels speak. But, you know, whatever works, I think, sometimes.
Exactly.
And I think we all have more power than we believe we do.
Oh, absolutely. If you believe that you can clear a space, you can clear a space. And I do teach people to do this, because I can't be everywhere. And I can do clearings via distance. I've been doing them for a very long time. Clearing people, clearing spaces, helping people kind of understand and take charge of their environment, because I think the education piece of that is just as important. You're not being haunted for no reason. There's a growth level involved there that you need to know how to claim your space. if you can claim your space against things that you can't see or control, it's a lot easier to also claim your space when you're dealing with people.
Yes.
They're really no different than a physical bully. They're just an energetic bully and should be treated as the same, with respect, but also sternness, that kind of behavior is not acceptable or allowed.
I hadn't thought of it that way, but it makes absolute sense.
Mm-hmm. That's how I teach people to shut off the fear. These things are nothing more than an energetic bully, and that they are treated with the same exact energy that you would a person who's being unkind.
And how much the rest of the world is
because of movies and culture and religion.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think religion is organized religion is one of the hardest things for people to realize.
Mm-hmm.
That and we're not even going to go into that too much, but
right.
Yeah, it does teach us to be afraid. And
exactly.
But yet, what is it? Now I forgot what you said you called Jesus. What did you call him?
Yeshua.
Yeshua.
Mm-hmm.
What is the one thing he always said? Fear not, for I am with you.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least that's what the good book says. But I believe mm-hmm. that if we have that kind of energy with us, there would be no reason to fear. And
exactly.
Similarly, if we recognize that we are that energy, which is unconditional love. If more people would realize that we can connect with unconditional love of other people. That's why we're attracted to the same kind of people. And I call them my tribe.
Right.
I like to be with people like you that make me feel like I'm home. And when we do that, we are so much more powerful than people
exactly.
would have us be.
Exactly. You know, I think as far as all of us who are doing the work and putting ourselves out there and trying to make the world a better place and trying to make a difference for people, I'm a big advocate on no competition because it doesn't exist. I think that we are supposed to band together, just like you said, and work together and support one another. And, you know, I'm not the only, you know, I do have my store there in Melbourne, Florida. I'm not the only store in town, and I promote all of my sister stores. I want them to thrive. I want everyone to do well. I think there should be a store like ours on every single corner, because not only are we trying to help people connect with themselves, with whatever they know and are comfortable with theology and spirit, it is actually promoting mental health.
Yes.
And it is a huge crisis in our world right now, mental health, those feelings of instability, feeling alone, feeling isolated, all of those things are a major crisis going on. And if we can help people to connect with themselves, with spirit, with whatever they are comfortable with, I think that we're all doing great service, and working together is what we are supposed to do, because we really can't make a difference on our own.
I agree. I 100%. I have to punch one more button before we say goodbye. We've got just a very short amount of time. I'll be right back.
If you like the show tonight, let us know. Call 321-417-4309 or email mary@beunique.org to ask how you can sponsor the show. It's simple and doesn't have to cost much at all. Visit beunique.org for even more details. That's BUNEKE.org.
We're back, and we have just enough time for Angie Clark to tell us how we can find her, follow her, and connect with her. So go for it, Angie.
I have lots of different ways that you can connect with me. First of all, my store that is in Melbourne, Florida, it's in the historic district. It's located at 1010 East New Haven Avenue. The store website is eewshop.com. In there, you can find classes, events, and you can also order all of the spiritual tools that you may need for whatever your daily practices are. So that is one mode. You can also online classes and downloadable classes will be coming next year. I do have a personal website, which is AngieClarkHealer.com. On my services page, you can directly book an appointment with me. You can book a consultation, or email is also available. The email that I use the most is EssentialElementsWellness@Yahoo.com. So you can reach me that way. We also have social media platforms. I have it under Angie Clark, Psychic Intuitive Healer. I also have Instagram, and the store, Essential Elements Wellness, is also on Instagram and Facebook as well.
Wow. You do have a lot of things, a lot of ways to reach you. That's good, though. That way nobody can ever say that they can't find you. Angie, you have been a delight. I really, really enjoy talking with you.
Likewise, and I'm so pleased and honestly very humble that you invited me, and I've been looking forward to this for quite a while.
Yeah, we booked you several months ago. And
yes,
you know, this show
been a minute, yes.
This show is booked now through the end of July of next
awesome.
Year.
That is amazing.
So,
and I wish you continued success.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm going to start having to charge people to be on my show, I think.
That's perfect.
No, we have a couple of sponsors that make it possible. But I am really delighted, and we may have to do this again sometime when I feel the need to talk about spirits.
I'm forward
with
to
that,
it, and
I'm
going to
say,
anytime.
Oh, thank you, thank you. And I look forward to talking with you in person, hopefully pretty soon.
I look forward to that as well.
Okay, good night, Angie, and good night
good
to
night.
All of my listeners.
Thank you for listening this evening. We're happy you chose to spend this time with us, and we hope you learned as much as we did.
Every Thursday at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
And if you'd like us to invite you or someone you know to speak right here, just go to beunique.org and contact us there.
I'm still trying to wrap my head around the fact that our newly branded podcast has so many global listeners and that our website and magazine receive thousands of visitors each month. Let's put your brand in front of all those people. Mary can share the demographics with you. Contact her through the website. That's BUNEKE.org.